going to read 2 Chronicles chapter 6 and the verse number 12, speaking about King Zedekiah. It says, "And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God, and humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord." And humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. This month saw the 105th anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic. The meeting voyage of that Belfast-built ship looks set to achieve the speed record for the crossing of the Atlantic Ocean. Several ice warnings from other vessels had been radioed to them on that particular Lord's Day. Some of those vessels had come to a stop that evening. But the Titanic, instead of stopping and waiting for the dawn, continued to sail on to its destination of New York. It was April. The dangers of icebergs in that particular region were well known, and messages had been sent to that vessel. Perhaps if only those messages had not only been received but heeded, things may have been very different. The same thinking applies to the passage that we have in front of us. We have here a man who sinned against the God of heaven. Verse 12 tells us that he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. He was in a privileged position. He was a man who became the king of his nation. But yet the Word of God tells us that instead of being a godly king, instead of being a righteous example to his people, he was a man who was wicked. He was a man who did evil in the sight of the Lord. And it also tells us in verse 12 that he humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. Here we have a man who not only sinned against God, but when the messenger of God was sent to him. And what a privilege that is, hearing the word of God, having the messenger, the prophet of God, being sent to you with a message for your soul. Here was a man who failed to humble himself. Here was a man who didn't listen. A man who did not heed the warning that came to him. This particular passage records for us the reign of four kings of Judah over a period of some 22 to 23 years. And as we come to 2 Chronicles chapter 36, the situation in this particular nation is not good. Those kings that were godly, those kings that glorified the God of heaven had passed on. And those that took their place were men who were wicked and men who did evil in the sight of God. And this wickedness continued. And this wickedness, not only in the king's house, but this wickedness within the land continued until the nation was lost, until the temple was destroyed, until the kingdom was ended by Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians. And that is something that we need to consider, especially in this day and generation. There's a message for our nation. There's a message here for the nations of this world, those that rebel against the God of heaven. Because here at this point of history, we see a man, we see a king who failed to listen to the word of God. And as a result, his kingdom, his nation was lost. Tonight I want us to consider, quite simply, failure to heed the preacher. Failure to heed the preacher. I want to draw your attention to our first heading tonight. And we see that there is a warning from Zedekiah's reign. There is a warning from Zedekiah's reign. As we look at this particular topic, this subject, failure to heed the preacher, we first need to understand the situation that this man was in. We need to look not only at his earthly situation, but his spiritual situation. And we see here his sin. Here was a man who sinned against the God of heaven. Notice what verse 12 says. He did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord his God. The Word of God is truth. The Word of God does not lie. The Word of God does not make a mistake. Here we have the testimony of this man's life. We find that he is a man who did evil. A man who did evil. And if we were to go back to that particular day and generation, we would find that the testimony of Scripture is completely accurate. This man did do evil. There's no mistake here. There's no mistake here. And child of God, we know the Lord makes no mistake. Sinner tonight, the Lord makes no mistake. This man did evil in God's sight. The Lord saw his sin. The Lord looked down from glory and saw the wickedness of this particular king. And the testimony of the Lord is sure regarding his spiritual condition that he did evil in the sight of the Lord. And God himself, not only does he know the sin of this man, but he knows your sin. He knows your wickedness. He knows the sinful acts that you've committed. He knows the sin that is within your heart. That is something to consider. Because when the great judgment day comes, like the testimony found here of King Zedekiah, the testimony of God regarding your sin, there will be no mistake. There will be no mistake. The Lord will not say that you're righteous when you're really not. The Lord will not call you unrighteous when you're a child of the King. There was no mistake here. This man engaged in sin and wickedness. And we see here the individuality of his sin. The individuality of his sin. In verse 12, it's indicated that this particular king did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. It is his sin in view. It is his actions in view. And as a result of the sinful acts that he engaged in, he brought desolation upon the land of Judah. Or rather, that desolation continued because of the wickedness of these particular kings. And we read that his sin was an individual sin. In the opening verses that we didn't consider, we read of other kings who sinned against God. But at this point, we see a man who followed in their footsteps, followed in their ways, but yet it was his sin and his wickedness. We need to understand something here, that as the Lord dealt with him, as the Lord sent the servant of God to warn this man of his sin and wickedness and to urge him to repent, the Lord was dealing with his sin. It was King Zedekiah's sin in view here. And if we turn to Ezekiel chapter 18, we will see something here regarding the parable of the sour grapes. The parable of the sour grapes. There are men today, and there's this thought today that we are not responsible for our sin. We do not want the consequences of our sin. Men will say, well, somebody influenced me. Or there will be those who say, well, my father, my mother, my grandparents, my brothers, my sisters are believers. And because my family is a Christian family, all is well with me. All is well with me. In Ezekiel 18, the verse 2, we read concerning the parable of the sour grapes. And the children of Israel had been using this parable. It says there, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. And what the people of Israel were doing is that they were using this parable. They were using it to excuse their sin and their feelings. They were saying that their fathers, those that went before them, had eaten sour grapes and the result had impacted them. Their teeth had been set on edge. Now if we were to eat sour grapes, tonight, we were to pass them round to all the fathers and mothers here. You ate those sour grapes, and your children didn't partake. Well, they wouldn't have that sour taste in their mouth. It would not affect them. It would not be something that would cause them personally that problem or that taste within their mouths. Why? Because they didn't partake. They didn't partake. But here, they were using this parable, and they were saying that because our fathers engaged in these ways, and because our fathers acted against God, we are facing the consequences of that. And they were using it to excuse the sin and wickedness that they themselves had engaged in. They were blaming others for the position that they were in. They were blaming others for their own sin. And God commands that this parable was not to be used anymore, or this proverb was not to be used anymore. In verse 4, he says, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." The soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the Lord moves the people away from this kind of thinking. And He moves them toward that which is biblical truth, that we are responsible for our sin. We are responsible for our actions. We are responsible for those acts of wickedness that we do. We are responsible for our own sin. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That certainly is something that is important. We turn to Jeremiah chapter 31. We will see it outlined again. Jeremiah chapter 31. And the verse 29, "In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten the sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge." And Zedekiah was not in this position, in a land that was desolate because of the sin of his fathers. To a certain extent, yes, he was. But in regard to the responsibility that was placed upon him, he was a sinner in the eyes of God. He was a sinner who was urged to repent. He was a sinner who heard the message of salvation and deliverance from the servant of God. The Word of God tells us in Romans 14, verse 12, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." Every one of us give an account of himself to God. It would be very easy to give an account of everybody else, to point out their sins and their feelings. It's the most easy thing to do. But yet, the Word of God tells us that we're not giving an account for everyone else. We're not giving the account of the sin of friends or family. We're giving an account of ourselves. An account of ourselves. You see, tonight, when it comes to dealing with the responsibility for sin, that responsibility is placed upon us. It's placed upon you. Our sin individually must be dealt with. We are held accountable for it. We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. There's an accountability. There is an accountability. And here in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, Zedekiah was being held accountable by God for his sin. But notice here as well, we have regarding his sin, the influence of his sin. The influence of his sin. He was influenced, of course, by those who had went before. We read of wicked kings, Jehoiachin and Jehoiakim, in verses 8 and 9, who were wicked, and men who did evil in the sight of the Lord. And this particular king Zedekiah continued in their footsteps, continued down that path. He certainly was influenced, yet he was responsible for his own sin. You may say, well, so-and-so has influenced me into sin. So-and-so has took me down this particular path. Even tonight, young people, there is much temptation in this world. But after engaging in sin, you can say, so-and-so pushed me into it. So-and-so influenced me. I felt under pressure to engage in it. The responsibility for engaging in that sin, the consequences of that sin, are your consequences. It is you who is accountable for that sin. Yes, they will be accountable for influencing you in the way of wickedness. But you're accountable yourself for giving in to that temptation. And that responsibility for engaging in sin falls upon you. But there is an influence. There is an influence. The state of the nation was going more and more into the ways of the world, more and more into wickedness. And while there is an individuality regarding the responsibility and judgment of our sin, we need to be aware that our actions influence others. It was Joseph who did not heed the influence of Potiphar's wife. She tried to tempt him and to ensnare him. And the man of God said no. He fled. But yet, in the book of Daniel, we read of the king there who listened to the advice of others, who was influenced by their reasoning. And as a result of that influence for wickedness, Daniel was cast into the den of lions. We can influence for good. We can influence for righteousness. Or we can influence for evil. Do not let others influence you for evil. Do not influence others for evil. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. We have in this passage a wonderful testimony. The testimony of King Manasseh. We have a man who was wicked. A man who was very much against the God of heaven. But the Lord brought him down and the Lord dealt with his soul. But we have his son in verse 21. Ammon was 2 and 20 years old when he began to reign, and reigned 2 years in Jerusalem. He reigned 2 years. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, as did Manasseh his father. For Ammon sacrificed unto all the carved images which Manasseh his father had made, and served them, and humbled not himself before the Lord. There's that phrase again. He humbled not himself before the Lord, as Manasseh his father had humbled himself. But Ammon trespassed more and more. Here we have a wicked king. Although he was saved, his life was changed. But yet that influence affected his son. The Word of God tells us that Ammon trespassed more and more. More and more. We need to note that our sin can influence others. They can influence others perhaps to a far greater degree. Far greater degree than what we ourselves had engaged in. That's a lesson for us to learn. We may have a limit. We may not go all the way regarding some acts of wickedness. But as we influence others, they very well can cross that line. And here is a man who trespassed more and more. And verse 24 tells us that his servants, his own servants, conspired against him and slew him in his own house. The influence here of sin. This man's sinful, wicked life How sad it was that 2 years into his reign, his servants took his life. We see here greatly the consequences of sin. We see the influence that sin can have upon others. But notice here the increase of his sin. Going back to 2 Chronicles 36, we see that this king did evil in the sight of the Lord. In verse number 11, it tells us that he was a young king. He was 21 years of age when he began to reign. He reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. But yet, despite this young age, he was a sinner in the sight of God. We read here that he did that which was evil. But moving down this passage, we read that there was this influence upon the land because he transgressed very much after all the abominations of the heathen and polluted the house of the Lord, which he had hallowed in Jerusalem. He engaged more and more in idolatry. And the sin of his nation and the sin of the king increased. Till in verse 16, the Word of God tells us there was no remedy. There was no remedy. The sin increased. The wickedness of this nation increased. The ungodliness of the king increased. Until the Word of God tells us the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy. They crossed the line. It was too late. It was too late. Sinner, tonight, your sin will increase. It cannot be controlled. It cannot be controlled. It will increase. It will increase. We see that in this world. As men mature, as the years pass by, as they live against any thought of God, their sin increases. Their sin increases. Notice here, not only his sin, but his rebellion. His rebellion. We see here that he rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar. Verse number 13 tells us that. Not only did he fail to humble himself before the message of the Lord, we'll consider that in a moment, but we see in verse 13, he rebelled against the king, who had made him swear by God, but he stiffened his neck and hardened his heart from turning unto the Lord God of Israel. Babylon was ungodly, a heathen nation, but yet this king, because of wickedness and sin and the desolation of the land, the Lord had brought the Babylonians in to the land of Judah. And as a result, this king was in servitude to Nebuchadnezzar. We read in here that he had made an oath to the king. Verse 13. He was appointed by this king. King Nebuchadnezzar had appointed Zedekiah to be the king of Judah. But yet we find that he rebels against him. And in other places we see that he sought to obtain help from Egypt to stand against Nebuchadnezzar. He sought aid from Egypt that pictures the world. Instead of turning his eyes toward God, instead of looking heavenward, instead of looking toward the God of heaven who was warning him about his sin, he turned to that which pictures the world to try and have that freedom from King Nebuchadnezzar. And very often, instead of turning to God, we try and deal with our sin. And we try and deal with the situations in which we are in ourselves. Not by looking to God, but by focusing upon this world. He rebelled against King Nebuchadnezzar, but he also rebelled against the servants of God. And verse 12 tells us that he humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet. He failed to humble himself before the prophet and continued to march down this road in his sin. The warnings of God came to him. Verse 15. And the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up at times and sending, because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. Here was a king who received not only Jeremiah the prophet, but other messengers that God had sent his way. What a privilege that was. We see the compassion of God. We see the love of God. Instead of coming and dealing with this sin straight away, the Lord was patient. The Lord sent messengers to warn his people, the people of Israel. And tonight, the very same thing can be said of the Lord. He is sent to you by his messengers, rising up at times and sending, because he had compassion. Because he has compassion. Tonight, we're gathered here in this service. We're gathered here considering the Word of God. Why? Because God has compassion. We're considering the great end of this particular king because of his sin. We're looking at the mistakes that he made. We're considering the fact that he ought to have turned in repentance to the God of heaven. Tonight we're able to do that because of the compassion and the love of God. Because of the compassion and the love of God. And sinner, tonight God has sent you messengers. God has sent you his servants. God has sent you his word. Out of compassion, out of love, out of that desire that you would flee from sin. That you would heed the message of the gospel. The warning of God came to him from several prophets. Ezekiel. In Ezekiel 12, verse 13, it says, "My net also will I spread upon him, and he shall be taken a miser, and I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans. Yet shall he not see it, though he shall die there." And the word of God, the warning came that this king would go to the land of Babylon. He would not see that land because his eyes would be put out, but he would be in captivity in that land. The judgment of God was promised. The judgment of God is sure. The warning of God came to his soul. We see his captivity as well. This path that he was on led to ruin. It led to ruin. Why? Because of his sin. Tonight, sinner, you need to consider the path that you were on. You may say, "Well, it's a different path than this king. I am not one who is engaged in the same actions as he's engaged in. I have that respect toward God. I have that reverence. I attend the house of God. I have that respect toward the servants of God. I do not go to them and treat them as the people did in verse 16. Mocking the messengers of God, despising his words, misusing his prophets." You may say, "I would never do such a thing as that." And yes, the sin in your life may be a different variety of sin than what we have here. But in verse 12, we see something. We see that the same issue that affected this man is the same issue that affects many tonight. "And humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord." This man's life was in ruin. This man's life, his kingdom, his nation, was all taken away from him. Why? Because he did not listen to the God of heaven. And tonight, if you fail to heed the great message of the gospel, if you fail to listen, if you fail to obey, if you do not come and repent toward the God of heaven, then the exact thing can be said of you. That you did not humble yourself before the servant of God, before the Word of God. before that message that came from the God of heaven to your soul. It's the very same thing. If he had but repented, if he had but listened, if he had but humbled himself. And that word humbled, it means subjection. If he had placed himself in subjection to the God of heaven, acknowledging the God of heaven, changing his life by his grace, things would have been much different. Things would have been much different. It was Matthew Henry who said, if he had made but God his friend, that would have prevented his ruin. If he had made but God his friend, that would have prevented his ruin. And we see here, secondly, the word that must be received. The word that must be received. And we see here a number of things. Because Jeremiah came and he spoke from the mouth of the Lord. And we see the necessity of it. The necessity of it due to sin. Due to the curse. Due to the evil which this king was engaging in. There was a necessity that he would accept the message that came from the God of heaven. Why? Because it was the only way of salvation. It was the only way of repentance. It's the only way in which his soul could be saved. And tonight, when we consider the message that comes to you in the gospel, the message that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners, that message is an essential message. It is a necessary message. Because it is the only message that tells the only way of salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a necessity of the word that must be received. If this word is not received, if this word is not heeded, tonight if you do not heed the word of God, there's no other way of salvation. There's the specifics of it as well. When we consider what this word is, we consider the word of God, we consider the scriptures. This man did not receive the word of God. He did not hearken unto it. He did not believe. And there's many today, who hear the message of the gospel, who hear the great truths that Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners, yet they don't repent. They know the great verses of Scripture. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Yet they don't repent. They know the gospel. They know the word of God. They can speak regarding the events or the great doctrines found in the scriptures. Yet they've never subjected themselves to the God of heaven. They've never humbled themselves. They've never believed. The Word of God is of absolute necessity. Of absolute necessity. We have here as well the life found in it. The life found in it. If he had but repented, if he had but made God his friend, all would have been very different. The book of Proverbs tells us, in Proverbs 10 verse 17, he is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. He that refuseth reproof erreth. Proverbs 15:24 says, the way of life is above to the wise, but he may depart from hell beneath. And Jeremiah 21 verse 8, the Lord says, thus saith the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. And to this king the way of life was set forth, the way of repentance, the way of hope, the way in which he could have life, like his ancestor before him, King Manasseh. There was that message that came. There was that warning from the Lord. Manasseh repented. He humbled himself. But yet, King Zedekiah didn't. He was not to humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet. He was to humble himself before the message of God, before the God of heaven. You see, sinner, tonight, the message of repentance is a very, very simple message. Message to repent of sin. Message to trust in the Savior. That message is the only way of salvation. There is no other message. No other message. And when Jeremiah came to this king and warned him and told him the message of God, that message remained the same. That message did not change the second or third time Jeremiah visited. Whenever the other men and messengers were sent, they did not change the message. They did not say something that contradicted the other. It was a unified message because it was the message of God. The gospel tonight, the way of salvation, the way of repentance, is a unified message. It's found in the Scriptures. The Word of God does not contradict itself. Men coming to interpret the Scriptures, men coming to bring their own views into the Word of God, they will twist and change the Scriptures. But the message that is truly found therein does not change. Does not change. It's the way of salvation, the way of repentance. Tonight, if you are to avoid the great judgment and the wrath of God, unlike this particular king, you need to humble yourself before the message of salvation. The message of repentance. Repent and believe the gospel. You see here, finally, the message the way that was rejected. He dismissed and despised the authority of God. So did his nation. And the wrath of God arose until there was no remedy. No remedy. The way of salvation was rejected. The way in which he could be reconciled to God was rejected. And that is very, very solemn, because when we look at that spiritually, we can say his soul was lost. Tonight, if there are those who reject the Savior, it is a solemn thing, because your soul is in danger. Your soul is in danger. There was this failure to heed the message, this rejection. Maybe it was because of pride, because he enjoyed his sin. Because he enjoyed his sin. Sin lasts but for a season. The pride of the sinner will soon be demolished completely and utterly when standing before God on Judgment Day. Those things last but for a season, but they have eternal consequences. Tonight, as we've said, you may say, I would never have committed the acts that Zedekiah did here, but yet the Word of God says you're still a sinner. You're still a sinner. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And yet, as we've said, you've not humbled or subjected yourself to the message of salvation. That's the key. And in this passage, that's the key verse. Verse 12. He humbled not himself before Jeremiah the prophet, speaking from the mouth of the Lord. Tonight your sin may be very different than this man, but your paths meet. Your paths cross at that verse, because you've never repented. You've never humbled yourself before the God of heaven. This man's sin had great consequences. Terrible consequences, and so will your sin. It was the reformer George Wishart who labored in the city of Dundee. He was exiled, but he went back to that city and preached during the plague. And his text was found in Psalm 107, verse 20. The Word of God says there, He sent His Word and healed them. He sent His Word and healed them. And that is why the message of the Gospel is so important. That is why the message that the servant of God brings, the message that the Word of God sets forth to us, is so important, because it's a Word that heals. It's a Word that heals tonight. If you're found in sin, if you're found far off from the Savior, listen to the Word of God. Heed the Word of God. Humble yourself before the Lord. He sent His Word and healed them. May that be the experience tonight of those outside of Christ, that the Lord sent His Word and healed them. May the Lord bless His Word tonight for His name's sake. Amen.